I want to talk this afternoon or this evening on a subject that I simply call with thanksgiving. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul writes to these Philippian brethren from the prison in Rome. You know, Paul really is amazing, wasn't he? I mean, he just, it's no wonder we call him the great apostle Paul. And he is writing, cheering up the brethren in Philippi as he sits in prison. And he calls them his joy. He speaks of them very fondly. And he remembers them always in every prayer. And he tells them not to worry about anything. Now, there are things, we know, we say it all the time, it's easier said than done, okay? That's a given. And always giving thanks, sometimes easier said than done. It's easier to know we need to be thankful. It's easy to forget of the many things to be thankful for. And in this year that's had its challenges, like every year has had, but this year we've been told that this is a lot worse. And so we fall into that and we believe that it is. And it might be, even you hear people call it the decade of 2020. And it seems like it's really gone slowly. And, you know, I did an article for our little bulletin for the January issue called 2020 Vision. And my 2020 vision was not what happened. In fact, as some of you know, I celebrated my birthday having eye surgery. And the doctor really put my heart to ease when he said, it wasn't anything you did. It's just the aging process gone wrong. And so that was a real comfort. But I'm thankful things have gone well. But what is the point? As we look at things, tomorrow, traditionally, Thanksgiving Day. 2020, do we even think of anything to give thanks for? I hope we do. We are blessed. We are always blessed. And we are blessed in this year. I hope, I see it that way now. But I make myself see things differently sometimes. Maybe that's the case. I hope as a brotherhood, we look back someday at the blessing of COVID-19 for the church. Not because some brethren died. We grieve with those people. Listen, people died from other things this year too, and we grieve with them too. The point is this. This can be, as anything can be, a blessing, a spiritual blessing. We don't like to think of it that way. And sometimes we almost jump to having our feelings stomped on a little bit at the idea of somebody even acting like, having the audacity to act like this could be a blessing. Let me just explain myself a little bit. Years ago, a young lady came forward on Sunday morning and she made a confession. I had been the speaker. I went to her after the invitation song was finished, as we do. And she said that she needed the prayers of the church. She had been in a wreck Saturday night, and they had to cut her out of the car. A single car accident. Don't know any of the details more than that. But she kept thinking as she was there in that car waiting for them to get her out, I can't die. I'm not ready. And I prayed for that gal. my sister in Christ, your sister in Christ, and as I asked God to forgive her for her sins, I also thanked him for that wreck. Anything that turns us to God is a blessing. Anything that causes us to realize our dependency upon him more. Oh, we sing it great. I need thee every hour. Sometimes, probably truth be sung, I need you for an hour. But when it's when there are needs, we're mindful. We don't have any problems praying and expressing our concerns in prayer. Now, we may not know what to ask sometimes. That's true. When people are in a serious disease stages with hospice and so forth, we don't know what to ask. And the family asks me sometimes, pray. She's going down fast. Pray. And I say, I'm going to pray. I'm happy to pray with you. I don't always know what to ask. He always knows what to answer. And so we pray that his will be done and that what's best for this person, and we'll accept, welcome his answer. As has been said many times, he's still the Almighty God. He's still in control. He makes no mistakes. Thank God for that. So he says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Don't just jump to the word thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. There's a blessing in everything that happens to us in this life. There, it can be a blessing. The old adage, what doesn't make you bitter will make you better. Or don't become bitter, let it make you better. But the point is, we have precious promises from God that nothing's going to happen to us that's beyond our ability to handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13 still stands, and it stands on the faithfulness of God, not on ours. He says, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's a promise based on the very faithfulness of God. We sing, great is thy faithfulness. Don't forget it. On his faithfulness, nothing's going to happen to us without his approval, and nothing he is going to approve that we can't handle with his help. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Paul wrote great encouraging words. He also wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Unless of course, no, he doesn't say. No exceptions. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. That used to bother me. You know, it's like, how do you never stop your prayer? And finally, it dawned on me, if I pray every day, have I ceased? No. It's not like never say amen. Just keep talking. No, Jesus says, you're not heard but for your much speaking. But he says, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. What are you going to pray tomorrow? Well, tomorrow you're going to need to say, give us this day our daily bread. Pray without ceasing. Then he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, sometimes you wonder, what is the Lord's will? Right here, he just spells it out. This is the Lord's will. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. We sing the songs. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We used to sing a song, Look for the Silver Lining. And I remember as a child, hearing, do I dare say the old people say, back then, the old people, that would say, every cloud has a silver lining. And they went through some tough times. My grandparents and your grandparents and theirs, they had some tough times. And yet, they, through faith, every cloud has a silver lining. That's an attitude. Ingratitude is a common problem, and it is a serious sin. In Luke 17, verses 11 through 17, Luke 17, verses 11 through 17, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Now I want you to just think about that. Let's just pause. Let's let this sink in a little more. That tells us something. 9 out of 10 were not thankful or didn't express it, didn't take the time to say thank you. But it also tells us Jesus expected it from them. Jesus says, were there not 10? Where are the 9? He was appreciative of this one coming. But he says, did it only work for you? Where are the others? We don't want to be in the group of the 9. We don't want to be that people. Ingratitude is so unlike Christ. When we think of who Jesus was here on earth, both God and man, and he gave thanks for his food. He gave thanks to his Father for the food he created. The Bible tells, in fact, I don't know of a single time, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know of a single time that the Bible talks to us, tells us of Jesus eating, that he didn't give thanks first. I'm not aware of it if it's there. But that doesn't mean anything. It just means I'm not aware of it. In John 6:11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. What does he say? When he had given thanks. Matthew 15:36, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. He thanked God for revealing the truth so people like me could understand it. Matthew 11:25, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. One characteristic of the unbelieving world is ingratitude. Romans 1:21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Paul urged the Philippian saints to give thanks in everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving has a psychological benefit, because in order to give thanks, we have to think. I reminded back in my young days, growing up in the church, not giving lessons, and I felt like, you know, I'm a decent song leader. That's enough. And I remember the first time a brother who's gone on says, we're going to ask Brother Randy if he would dismiss us. And I'm standing back there like everybody's Sunday morning. I thought, man, it sounded like he said Randy. Can't be. So I just stood there. And a little bit, he says, Brother Randy. I said, oh, man, he did say Randy. And so I said, Brother Bird. And so he dismissed us. I was scared to death. But finally, growing and maturing a little bit, I was asked to lead a main prayer one time. And I'm scared to death. If I don't get this right, nobody's going to say amen. And oh man, I'm dead. And I'm worried about it. I'm seriously worried about it. So I start off and I'm giving thanks. Thank you for this and thank you for that and thank you for... And I usually, jokingly, but I'd run out of blessings. I couldn't think of anything. So I sat there in my embarrassment. Finally, I thought of something, and I was so happy I thought of something else that I said, and thank you for it. And I go, oh, what was I thinking? I got to think of something else again. Do you know, sometimes I think that was a great blessing to me. Sometimes I need to get in my closet or my private place and pray and sit there embarrassed till I think of more things to thank God for. God has blessed me. I can't explain why. I don't feel in any way more deserving than anybody else. And sometimes can feel nearly that sense of guilt of why is my family... I'm so blessed with a good family. I'm so thankful for my family. And others I know were more deserving than me, and their family has fallen apart. Sometimes that's the case. We're so blessed. And we need sometimes to take the time to make ourselves, force ourselves. This time, this prayer, I'm just going to thank God for stuff. And begin to think. We had an ice storm several years ago now. And where we lived, we were 2 weeks to the day without electricity. And seriously, the first couple of days, it's like withdrawal from remote control. It is worthless. And there's no lights, candles everywhere. We had a little fireplace, and we would keep the fire going, bring in the wet wood and set over the hearth, let it be drying out while that burned. And we were going through it. And you know, after that was all done, since that time, I have no problem thanking God for luxuries in my life. I never wanted to even mention that word. Luxuries and conveniences. What else can you call them? Certainly not food, clothing, and shelter. And so, yes, we are blessed. We are very, very blessed. But this psychological thing even is when we give thanks, it helps us with worry. Psychologists sometimes will tell you to keep a diary. And on one column, write everything bad that happens to you today. But on the other column, honestly, write everything good that happens to you so that you think about it, you see. And you may be surprised that that mountain of problems you're facing dwindles down to one or two things. And the blessings have just gone way up. And you realize God's really doing a pretty good job. And He is blessing us very, very well. Anxious means worried. Jesus told the disciples not to worry about things they could not change. Matthew 6, verses 25 and 26. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Not to worry about the necessities of life. Down in verse 31. Therefore, do not worry saying, I'm sorry. Yeah, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. We don't have to worry about the necessities of life. We have a promise. If we're faithful, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we'll have that. And with that, it's enough. Peter instructed saints to cast their care, anxiety, and worry on the Lord. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. What a load there is in that verse, in that little passage there. First of all, humble yourselves. What's the problem? When we're worried, it's pride in the way. Pride, and in a sense, accusing God of not being able or not caring enough to take care of us. Humble yourselves under the might. I was doing a study on the power of God. And so passages that come out with the mighty hand of God, that was one of the things. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power might be of God and not of us. And so under the, this stood out to me, that under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, on his time schedule. Let your requests be made known to God. Yes, but he says, cast all your care upon him. He cares for you. Sometimes little faith people don't halter at his ability to do for someone. My faith falters at his willingness to do it for me. I feel too unworthy. I don't deserve it. Why would he do it for me? Because he cares for me. He cares for you. To God, suggest in the presence of God. Anxiety is out of place in God's presence. Worry sits in judgment on God's love for his people. He doesn't really care about us. Yes, he does. He cares for you. And he's and another thing, God's love for his people, but God's ability to provide for his people. I've heard people, good brethren, sometimes in prayer we just say some things that we haven't thought out real well. I've do that too, but I've heard people give thanks for food, clothing, and shelter, and so forth, and then say, but we know that these things will not, cannot suffice for the future. And I'm thinking, wow, God got a newsflash. You think he doesn't know you're going to need something tomorrow? Why did Jesus say, give us this day our daily bread, not bring us a month's supply, please? The manna fell daily. They weren't to gather up for the next day or week in case it didn't come. God said it'll come. And he got pretty angry with them. And then when he says, all right, on Friday, get twice as much because it's not coming on Saturday. And they went out anyway. He got angry again. How long are you going to disobey me? We are judging God. We have to trust God. We either believe that God is the Almighty God and he is in charge, he is in control, he is able to do all that he promises, and he does care for us, or we have problems with faith. And secondly, thanksgiving is the way we achieve peace. We need peace in our hearts. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace with God is the foundation on which one builds a life of peace. You want the peace of God. That is the peace that only God can give, that surpasses all understanding. You've got to have peace with God first. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. Romans 5 and verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Sin frustrates men. It's frustrating, hopefully. Hopefully we still feel terrible when we sin. And when we do, as bad as that feels, there's a blessing in that. And thank God for feeling bad about your sin. Because it's possible to get beyond feeling. It's possible to sear that conscience with a hot iron. It's possible to get to the point you won't feel anything anymore. And you'll die in that condition, most likely then. And so it's a blessing to wound the conscience, to still feel bad when we sin. It frustrates us because that's not what He made us for. Ecclesiastes 12 verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. The peace of God is the peace that God and only God can give. It is the precious possession that surpasses all understanding. You don't explain it to anybody. You can't even explain it. You just know, I'm at peace. I'm at peace. I seriously had no idea. In fact, I didn't even know what the retina was. I had a detached retina in my eye. I thought it was one of those nerve deals or stem. I didn't know what it was. The doctor says, it's the wallpaper of the eye in there. It's come loose and they got to put it back. Well, I didn't know, but I was thinking I could lose sight in that eye. And I was completely at peace. If I lose the eye, I lose the eye. I'm old already, so, you know, if I lose the eye, I lose it. There are worse things going on. Worse things can happen. And things happen to God's people, but there are blessings for us. Dying faithful is not a tragedy. It's a blessing. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And so it's not a tragic end when a faithful Christian dies. And so this peace of God surpasses all understanding. But He says it can guard our hearts. We sing the songs like, when peace like a river attendeth my way. And we sing, it is well with my soul. When we know that it's well with our soul and we are fine because we have asked God to forgive us. If we've sinned, we've asked for forgiveness. We're good. We're good. He cares for us and we are fine. The Christian is called to peace by the gospel of peace. Romans 10 verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. This peace is said to rule the heart. It is, as Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace, that's sort of a mild command form. Let the peace of God rule. And it will stand guard. Philippians 4:17, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul is not distinguishing between emotional and intellectual faculties. The heart identifies the whole inner man, the thinking, the willing, and the doing part. Mind, or the thoughts, identifies the operation of the heart. Peace of God is pictured as a warrior guarding the hearts and minds of the saints. That peace there is protecting and keeping us at peace. That's a blessing. Thanksgiving comes from recognition of God's peace. No matter what we face, we can have this peace. No matter what we face, no matter how dark may seem the way, doesn't matter. As long as we are at peace with God. And that is beyond understanding. The world has no clue. How in the world are you holding it together when everything around you is falling apart? I'm sorry, I can't explain that to you. We can have peace. And we want it, and it's there, and thanksgiving is the key. Because we recognize how faithful God is. And when we realize that no matter what happens to me, God will turn it to a blessing. When I lost my dad, terrible thing for me, difficult time, very difficult time. But I had in my mind that one day, Lord willing, maybe I'll be able to use this to help other people when they lose their dad. It's blessings. Blessings in it. Oh, I wasn't feeling super blessed at the moment, but I was certainly thinking this can work for a blessing in time. Thanksgiving comes from the recognition of God's peace. Thoughtfulness is the basis of thankfulness. If one expresses thanks, he must reflect on blessings he has received. Is thereby impressed with the many expressions of God's goodness. The song, Count Your Many Blessings, when it says, and it will surprise you. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? How true that is. If we make ourselves, because Satan doesn't want you to think about that. He wants you to think about all this going on. Look at this. This is awful. Why is God? I thought God was love. All of this, we can rebuke Satan and say, all is well. It is well with my soul. And if I lie down tonight or die before I get to lie down tonight and I'm ready to go, Paul says that's gain. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. And once we get that established in our hearts, there's not anything else that we were worried about. Because we've already got this settled in our minds of being good with death whenever, however it comes. When he says, be faithful unto death, he doesn't say, unless it's some dreaded disease. He doesn't say, only if it's persecution. Doesn't say, unless it hurts, be faithful unto death. That's the end of the race. Paul said, I've finished my race. I've kept the faith. That's what we all need to say. Paul wrote this admonition from a Roman prison. Paul's peace was not so dependent on externals as some might imagine. Acts 16, he could sing in a Philippian jail. I actually thought of this when they were talking about arresting Christians for assembling. I wondered, you think they really, because there's more than 10 of us in here, they're going to take us out, put us in jail with 40 or 50? It doesn't make much sense. But I thought, you know what? I need to start thinking about what would I sing? Paul and Silas were able to sing. And so I started thinking, what would I sing? And I started... I actually started a list of some songs I felt like I could do. I just kind of wanted to have that in my mind, you know, and be ready. God's people need to be grateful because they are the recipients of all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Thanksgiving is the cure for worry. And it is the way we get to a life of peace. And so be thankful. Yeah, 2020, Thanksgiving. Of course, I thought about 2020 birthday wasn't so great. Wonder what 2020 Thanksgiving's going to be. No. Mm-mm. No need to go there. And it's not just tomorrow. It's a lifestyle of thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. That's the lesson for this afternoon. I hope we're encouraged. I don't mean this negative at all. I feel like we're the only people on earth, on this planet, that really has any reason to be happy. And that doesn't matter this year, any year, whatever. We are God's people. And He calls us His own special people, purchased by the precious blood of Christ. We mean something to Him. He cares for us. He gave His Son for us. If you're not in a safe condition, well, of course, you don't have peace. You know. You know you're not in a safe condition. You know it. And you never have. You don't need peace. You need to be bothered. You need to be concerned about that. Because we've been reminded this year, there are a lot of ways to die besides COVID. You can still die with auto wrecks too. You can still die from heart attacks too, or cancer. There's still a lot of ways to go. And while you're worried about one way, we travel every day on the road 4 feet away from death. Constantly. So we don't need to be worried, sick, about something might happen. We need to be ready in the event. My dad used to say, live every day as though it were your last, because one of them will be. And that's great advice. And that's what we need to do as well. If we can help you tonight, I suppose we are all Christians of the age of accountability. So if, as a Christian, if there's something that you need to take care of in a public way, we're here to help. We're not here to look down noses, point fingers. We want to help each other get to heaven. If we can help you, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the song Selected.